the letter written by the president of the Supreme Court Bar Association to the president of India? Is this something that really needed to have been done? And what about the others in the Bar Association who say that you shouldn't at all interfere in the judgment of the Supreme Court? I'm now joined by Adesh Agarwal, the president of the Supreme Court Bar Association. Thanks very much for being with us. I'm joined by Ranji Thomas, advocate of the Supreme Court, Shadan Farhasat, Kapil Madan, Rajat Sethi, and Sumitra Goenka. Thank you all very much for being with us. But let me go across to you first, Mr. Agarwal. Sir, in your letter to the president, you wrote, the Supreme Court should not allow itself to deliver judgments that would create a constitutional stalemate and undermine the majesty of the Parliament of India. But sir, the Supreme Court ruled, and I quote, that the present system ensures unclean money coming from unidentifiable sources. It is a wholly non-transparent system. So it's all very well, sir, to talk about the democratic functioning of the system, right, of political parties, but the system also must be clean, no? Mr. Agarwal?
Let me clarify that we welcome the decision of the Honorable Supreme Court qua when it has quashed this bond. But I am objecting to the order of the Honorable Supreme Court, which says that all these donors and donees' identity, the amount which they have given, that should be disclosed. That is contrary to law. Why it is contrary to law? Because there in this scheme, it was clear that the names will be not disclosed, the amount will be not disclosed. Honorable Supreme Court has rightly quashed this scheme. We welcome because there rightly Supreme Court has held there can be possibility of corruption in giving those bonds.
But then why did you write to the president, sir?
But yeah, that I'm clarifying. I'm saying the Supreme Court was not in a position to direct the Election Commission of India to display the names of the donors and the recipients. Because under that scheme, it was clarified the names and the amount and the beneficiary's name will be not disclosed. Under that circumstances, the donors, they have given this donation. Now the problem, once their names and the amount and the piety is disclosed, then they can be victimized. What happens in this country, if one corporate company has given 10 crore rupees to BJP and they are having office in Calcutta and they have not given any amount to Mamata Banerjee party, then there is a possibility.
So the corporates who have actually given money, you say, that will be victimized. But one moment, sir. If you look at the text of what the Supreme Court has said, they have said that political contributions give a seat at the table to the contributor. This access also translates into influence over policy making. In simple terms, if I give you a certain amount of money, the expectation is that you will do me a certain favor. And the Supreme Court has ruled that there is a right to information on the basis of which voters in this country should have access to this information, and that the system is not transparent if this information is not available.
I also welcome.
Therefore, sir, the entire premise of your argument doesn't stand, does it?
No. It stands. You have not understood what I'm saying.
No, sir, I've understood.
I'm saying the...
You are saying that companies will be victimized, right? And the Supreme Court is saying there has to be transparency because it is legal.
that transparency, there was no transparency, that's why this scheme was quashed by the Supreme Court. And that is a welcome step. Every a person believing in democracy.
I get what you're saying. You're saying that it's one thing for the Supreme Court. Hang on a second. To quash this, however, the name should not be released. I understand that. But let me go across to Mr. Thomas.
Yes, that is my point.
And Mr. Agarwal, Mr. Thomas, are members of the Supreme Court Bar Association. Why have you countered his letter to the President with a resolution?
To be fair with you, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Adish Agarwal as the President of the SEBA cannot write a letter like that. He is not authorized by the Executive Committee either in a meeting or in any resolution signed by any member, and nobody has knowledge about what he has written. It has only come through the newspapers. We as the elected members of the executive have a responsibility towards the bar and the elected members to see that whatever we respond to anything,
yes,
is subject to the purpose of the Bar Association. What Mr. Agarwal has written is, in his personal capacity, unfortunately, the Supreme Court Bar's name is mentioned in his letter. That is why we are now called to correct it by saying that the Supreme Court Bar Executive has nothing to do with the statement or letter written by Mr. Adish Agarwal, and Bar Association will not justify or recommend or support what is written by Mr. Adish Agarwal.
Mr. Agarwal,
it is none of our business to interfere in
the election. Mr. Agarwal, does this make your position as President of the Supreme Court Bar Association less tenable?
No. My learned friend is senior in age, he is senior leader, but he could not understand, he could not read my letter. I have not given this letter on behalf of the Executive Committee. I am duly elected President of Supreme Court Bar Association, and my learned friend also supported me. So, but the problem in this country is, when it is quasi judiciary, our lawyers in Supreme Court are not ready to accept that, because every lawyer bowed down. We, the Supreme Court lawyers, being the final court, even if I am convicted for contempt, I will bow down, say, my lord, I am highly obliged. Like that, my friend Mr. Thomas says, I have not stated in my letter,
but
that
it was on
I am
the
writing this
the
letter
SCBA.
To President on behalf of the Executive Committee.
No, but you sent it on the
no,
letter
this is
of
also
the
wrong. He
you
don't
didn't?
Know.
You didn't?
No, this is also wrong. That's why, my dear friend, I have not sent, I could have sent, that also I am saying. I am authorized being the as President, I can write when I am writing I. Then it means Adish Agarwal as President of SCBA. When I say we on behalf of Executive Committee, then my friend Mr. Thomas and other members, Mr. Thomas belongs to Congress.
So what you're saying is that you wrote it on your behalf and that you did not write it on behalf
happening?
Of the SCBA. That's what you're saying.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with Mr.
I have written as President of Supreme Court Bar Association.
Right.
And the Chairman of All India Bar Association. On the letter
Your views don't reflect the Bar Association.
What Mr. Thomas don't know, without my authority, no meeting can be held under the rules of Supreme Court.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
Meeting was there. But I told them, if you want to pass, I have no problem.
All right, okay, one second. Shadan Parasad wants to make a point.
I write.
Shadan, go ahead, please. Yes.
Can I come in? Thank you, Vishnu.
Shadan first, and then I'll come across. Yeah.
Yes. My point is that I quite apart from the issue of whether Mr. Agarwala had the authority to send that letter or not, in my view, he didn't, because if he's using the name of the president, even just the president, it's proper that the CBA executive committee is taken into confidence. Otherwise, it leaves a lot of room for doubt whose view it is, number one. But be that as it may, I'm not commenting any more on that. I find the reason...
It's not a body of illiterate people.
Sir, that's all right. I did not say... Kindly don't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt you. Now, second, kindly... The reason which is being given, that article, we have to have a presidential reference, and in the meantime, there will be a stay. That legally, I find that, to be honest, bizarre.
Yes.
At the highest, it is not the advisory opinion of the Supreme Court is at the highest advisory, even a final opinion. Now, can we treat the advisory opinion of the Supreme Court as an appellate body over a constitution bench of the Supreme Court? I have not heard of this proposition ever. I think it's legally completely untenable. So I don't know what was the reason for suggesting this.
You see...
No, just kindly allow me to complete.
Please continue.
If the advisory opinion is only advisory, even in its final text, that is even when finally, how can a reference stop a judgment which is binding on the government? Now, Supreme Court, good, bad, ugly, right, wrong, has held something. It's binding on all of us. Unless reviewed by a mechanism known to law, which is only a review. You can't use a presidential reference as an appeal over a constitution by Supreme Court decision. I have not heard of this proposition ever. So frankly, quite apart from the question of authority, the suggestion which is given to the president, I don't think is legally tenable at all.
Mr. Agarwala, would you like to reply on what legal basis it is said that letter?
I want to make an important point.
Kapil, I'll come to you in two seconds. Let him have a right to reply to that. I'll come to you next. Yes.
I have written, there is a provision of presidential reference. Once that reference is made by the Honorable President after seeking the opinion of the Government of India, and then President seek this opinion, reference, Supreme Court Chief Justice will constitute a bench. And when it is not appeal, it is the, normally when a matter is pending, only I'm not saying ki this should be revived. I'm not on that. I'm only on short point that Honorable Supreme Court, without hearing these affected corporate companies, could have not directed the Election Commission to make it open.
Okay. All right. Kapil Madan, you had a point to make.
Are here.
Mr. Agarwala, I'll come back to you.
Sense of somebody.
Yes. Yes. I'll come back to you. Kapil has been waiting. Mr. Madan,
So Vishnu, I would, unequivocally, make a statement here that Mr. Agarwala wants to play in a political theater. Because being a Supreme Court president, we would presume that, Mr. Agarwala would know the basic procedure, which appears, if we go through his letter, which appears that he is not aware about the basic, procedures, how the Constitution and how our Supreme Court functions. Now, my learned, another panelist here made a very correct
question. You answer if you to are this, agree, don't teach me, no, I know
Mr.
better.
Mr. Agarwala, we know what you know, it's reflected in your letter, and let me just analyze that letter. Now, what does that letter say? If you are aggrieved, if you are unhappy with the order,
whether the Supreme Court
Mr.
can
Agarwala,
pass order.
You are neither the petitioner,
no,
Supreme Court
can
Agarwala,
pass order.
Mr. Agarwala, I'll come to you next. Let Kapil make his point. Kapil, make your point.
Now, the point is, what I understand is Mr. Agarwala was not the petitioner in this case. And I don't know whether Mr. Agarwala appeared as a counsel in that case.
Yes, I was not.
So, irrespective of that, if Mr. Agarwala, thank you for correcting it. Now, procedurally, if someone is unhappy with the judgment, the litigant, the parties who are appearing or who are unhappy or, who wants to assail the judgment, the only remedy they have is a review petition before the Supreme Court. After that, a curative petition. And I would presume, being the Supreme Court president of the bar, Mr. Agarwala would know these basic procedural requirements. And I'm quite perplexed, reading it this letter that, a presidential reference is being sought, which is under Article 143A. And how can a presidential reference, will sought to overturn a constitution bench judgment? And I'm absolutely, absolutely perplexed. And I am even more perplexed when, Mr. Agarwala made a statement here that if Supreme Court is convicting someone of contempt, you will bow down and you will say, you know, oblige my logic.
Okay, one so second.
What is he trying to?
I get the point that you're making. Rajat, would you like to come in over here? Do you believe that the entire argument of going to the president is legally untenable? That if there is a process of appeal, it has to be through the Supreme Court to begin with?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, unfortunately, but what I can say, just as a common citizen, is that, you know, it does look like going a little overboard requesting a presidential reference on this. Perhaps a review petition, I don't even know, legally speaking, that after a constitution bench sits on it, is it possible to, you know, request for a review petition on this? But one thing that is underlined just from a common citizen standpoint is that any kind of a retrospective change of law... Yes. Is something which is against natural justice. This is where I have principal disagreement with the Honorable Supreme Court. I personally feel that at any point in time, as a common citizen, in order to have trust in the rule of law, I need to understand that what degree of trust should I place into the laws of the land as of today? Because retrospectively, tomorrow you might go and change the law and hold me, accountable or even in contravention to certain things that I wasn't even aware of. So this is principally against natural justice. That is the biggest problem that I have in this judgment. And, you know, the honorable judges of the Supreme Court can differ on this and they can have a different point of view. Their arguments that, the transparency is not there. We have seen that systems before or systems after electoral bonds are also not transparent. So their argument also, doesn't hold even in today when electoral bonds do not exist. Thirdly, as the Bar Association president has also raised, there will be, corporates who paid political parties would then be targeted, they would be vilified, and they would be seen as proxy political parties. They would be seen as extension. And you know, public's interest when they are dealing with a corporate entity would differ now, because then they would have this extra bit of information that this corporate entity is a proxy of a political party. That's how the public will perceive that. And that was something which was totally missing from when these donations were actually made. So again, forget about the corporate. Just as a common citizen, I think we should do away with any kind of retrospective assessment of our laws. That should be an underlying principle that the Honorable Supreme Court should once and for all establish in this country, so that the trust of common citizens on the rules, on the laws of this land can be of paramount.
But Rajat, just on the point that you're making, if there is a corporate which has given money, a substantial money, to party A or party B, are they not in a sense a proxy to that party? That's exactly what the Supreme Court said needs to be revealed.
Not necessarily.
There is a quid pro quo.
It doesn't happen like that.
You fund a political party with the expectation that you get something. The Supreme Court is saying is that's fine, you go and fund, but then let people know and let then people decide if they want to vote for you or not.
This is a presumption. This is clearly a presumption. I mean, if I were to tomorrow contest, I'm going to reach out to my friends. I'm going to reach out to my network of people. And if they are, investing in me and trusting my degree of leadership that I can lead the country or my constituency, would I necessarily say that there is going to be a quid pro quo? Not at all. That is an assumption.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a fair assumption or an unfair assumption.
Okay, that's an interesting point, Sumitra. Got it. Sumitra Goenka, do you agree with that? That it is an assumption by the Supreme Court in its judgment to believe that there is a quid pro quo, that if one, a corporate or whoever it is, gives funds or in this case bonds to a political party, then that political party would necessarily reciprocate with moves which favor that corporate. Do you believe that that assumption is incorrect?
Yes. So I think, I believe that this assumption is incorrect. See, this country was not having a transparent method of funding, and I don't want to challenge the motives of the Supreme Court or the government when this amendment was brought in 2017, where around 4 acts were changed to enable these donations to come in. But the basic understanding which I have as a common man is that financial contribution which was made to a political party and the information privacy of the donors, this was assured by the government, the law which enacted or the amendments which were made to the certain laws like the Companies Act and Income Tax Act, it made it easy for the people to donate because their privacy was protected. Here, this parliament is supreme when it comes to enacting laws, and Supreme Court itself has hailed at several times that if there is a retrospective effect and it is giving an unanticipated burden to any person or you know, an anticipated benefit to any person, then it is not the right way to implement a law retrospectively. So this is something which we have to understand. And where is the separation of judiciary and legislation here? The people who donated at that time, they were donating as per the law. They have not violated any law at that time. So why are these corporates getting punished for these donations? While I agree that transparency has to be there, and the Supreme Court is very right in saying that the right of information is violated. So in order to ensure transparency, if the new laws or the amendments to the said acts have to be made, then it has to be done prospectively and not retrospectively. And I feel one more thing, that when we talk about transparency of judiciary, which judiciary is talking about, then it should also apply to other things like appointment of judges as well.
So, okay, one sec. Let's stick to this for a moment, Shadan. Sumitra, you've made lots of points. Three of them, as I see, Shadan. Firstly, there needs to be a separation of the judiciary and legislature. The second point that she says is that there is an assumption on a quid pro quo in this particular scheme between corporates and political parties. Those are two of the key points. How would you respond to them?
Yeah, quickly, I'll just respond to those and a couple of more points. Firstly, you know, judicial review is an elementary constitutional 101 principle. I mean, this whole thing, parliament is supreme, parliament is supreme, makes no sense in any constitutional democracy, certainly not in India. Courts here are supposed to judicially review. They strike down parliamentary acts every day. Is this happening for the first time in India? I mean, I find this argument itself shocking. I'm sorry. So anybody with elementary knowledge of law will not say parliament is supreme in passing legislation. Parliament is supreme subject to the law being constitutional. Number one. Number two, once the law has been declared unconstitutional, please note that all decisions of court are always retrospective because they are only declaring the law as it has always stood. Acts of parliament are prospective unless stated otherwise. Judgments of court are retrospective unless stated otherwise. So there's nothing new. Number two. Number three, on the notice to the corporate donors, in April 2021, through an interim order, the Supreme Court had told the Election Commission, get us all the details in sealed covers and place it before us. We'll examine it and keep on collecting those details. So every corporate donor as far back as April 2019 was put on notice that, boss, the Supreme Court is examining this. Subject to the outcome, the identities may be revealed. Number three. Number four. Corporations don't have privacy.
Who has disclosed this? Who has disclosed this point? No, you don't know. Who has disclosed this fact to the corporate?
In April 2019, the Supreme Court has said, place all the details before us and we'll examine what is to be done with it. So they have been put at notice that the details can be disclosed. Everybody has been put at notice as far back as 5 years.
Who has put notice?
Corporations don't have privacy.
Corporation. No. Who has put notice to the corporate?
It's a right to life, sir. It's a right to life. It only applies to natural persons. Corporations don't have privacy. I mean, we are missing elementary law in this process. What are we talking about? So I'm sorry. There is no everybody, every corporation
My short question is whether the court or the election commission or the Reserve Bank informed the donors that in future if you will give anything in donation, this will be subject to the decision of the Supreme Court.
But isn't everything subject to the... Mr. Agarwal,
This is hilarious.
Isn't everything subject to the supervision or whatever any court says?
I mean, this is hilarious.
Ultimately, a court can decide on anything and everything. How can we...
Don't know.
Why does anybody have to tell a corporate that this is binding on what the Supreme Court... If the Supreme Court has found an illegality...
giving in donation.
If the Supreme Court has found an illegality, it is found an illegality.
Subject to the outcome of the writ petition.
Hold on,
Sumitra next and then Kapil. Sumitra, go ahead.
Sumitra next, then Kapil.
Yeah, Vishnu. See, I am a corporate. If I am following the law, what do I follow? I follow the Reserve Bank of India Act. I follow the Income Tax Act, Companies Act. If Companies Act is telling me that I can donate a certain part of the funds to political funds on the basis of the law, then how am I illegal for doing that? Now, some people may have objection to the law. They have approached the court and the court has not struck down the law at that point of time. So how can the legal donation, which I have made...
Get your point, interrupting you because I'm running short on time. Kapil, last word to you. She is saying it is unfair for corporates. Yes, so Vishnu, that it is being retrospectively applied.
With all humility, I would say, I think Mr. Agarwala has assumed some different laws. You know, he's reading some different books and he's making an argument that, you know, today, you know,
Kapil, will you take on the point that Sumitra is saying? And Sumitra's point is important. They're repeatedly Rajat saying the same thing, that laws should not retrospectively be applied. Kapil, laws should not be retrospectively applied. It is unfair to corporates. How would you respond to that? Just stick to that quickly.
Vishnu, I would simply say, you know, my friend here, you know, was correct that, you know, it is not an application in retrospection. What the Supreme Court in this, you know, judgment has said, Supreme Court has said, the voters have right to information because they need to exercise their vote. And that's the reason why, you know, this entire scheme, you know, the basis of the scheme was to bring transparency, and the effect of this judgment is to, you know, conceal rather than revealing. So therefore, in that light, the Supreme Court has, you know,
Okay, so that's the light you believe the Supreme Court has ruled. Sorry, out of time. Sincere apologies. Thank you all very much for being with us.